Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And we are in the Cigar Lounge today with Cheryl Green. Cheryl, welcome to the Cigar Lounge.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We're glad to have you. Would you do me a favor and just start off by telling the Cigar Peg a little bit about what it is that you do?
Absolutely. So I've been a speaker for around 5 years now. And about a year and a half ago, I realized that I wasn't really talking about what I was most passionate about. I was teaching people how to tell stories for business, which I loved, and I was helping and I was good at it. But it wasn't really where my heart was. So I thought long and hard and had a couple of boundary struggles and realized that boundaries were the lesson that I not only needed to learn, but needed to teach.
Beautiful.
So since then, I've written a book. I am an author. This is book number 6, I believe.
Wow. Very good.
Thank you. And speaking about how to set personal and professional boundaries to save your life.
To save my life here. Let me start off by asking, what is the title of this book?
So the new book is You Had Me at No, How Setting Healthy Boundaries Helps Banish Burnout, Repair Relationships, and Save Your Sanity.
Nice.
Thank you.
So let me ask you this. How did you get into... Even when you were not speaking where you wanted to be speaking, but just in the beginning, how did you get into this? How did you end up in this world?
The funny thing is I was terribly afraid, like deadly afraid of public speaking.
Okay.
I was possibly the shyest person you could ever meet. My friends would have to come out to the parking lot to get me because I wouldn't walk into a restaurant by myself.
Oh my.
That bad. And I moved out to Vegas because of a divorce and realized that I was either going to get over my fear of people and make some friends, or I was going to spend the rest of my life in my parents' spare bedroom. I joined a writer's group and they told me, they encouraged me to be a part of the board. And I said, no problem. I love to get involved. And then they said, but you have to present to the chapter every single month. And I pretty much peed myself.
So yeah, that's a good way to start. Very visual warm up here.
I'm very visual.
Well, so now you're in Vegas now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Where is your parents' basement?
Also Vegas.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it wasn't like you moved across the country and ran away.
I did. I was living in North Carolina at the time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Brand new. Good.
Brand new environment. So the president of the writers group actually encouraged me to go to Toastmasters.
Okay.
Went through the program. My very first speech was actually a contest and I won that contest. And as you know, when you do well, they throw you right back in and you have to speak to more people and conquer the next fear. And I just kept doing that until I realized I absolutely loved it and I wanted to be a professional speaker.
Well, and then what lanes did your speaking take on? What shape did it take at first?
I started out speaking about resilience. Okay. I was trying to figure out what I was an expert in, and I figured I was really good at getting knocked on my butt and getting up stronger. And I spoke about resilience, but you know, had all the voices saying, well, you can't make money in that. You need to speak to businesses. It has to be something that benefits business. And I listened and started teaching storytelling.
Okay. And what were you doing before you were a speaker?
Oh man, how long do we have for this podcast here?
Oh, we'll take as long as you want. I'd just like to know.
So my background is actually in forensic psychology.
Okay.
And the closest I've ever come to working in that was I worked at a mental health facility for the severely mentally ill.
Well, and you're close to it today because you're speaking to a lawyer that's nuts.
There you
go. See, that's it. There you go. We're back to the beginning. So tell me, okay, so you start off, you get into storytelling. Mm-hmm. And how long did you do the storytelling?
So I did that for probably about 4 years. So obviously I have the background in writing books, but I'd actually started out writing fiction as opposed to the nonfiction that I do now.
Okay. So
I used that along with, I had experience writing content for businesses. Okay. So this entire time I've been writing website content, blogs, articles, bios, things like that for businesses.
Yeah.
And just kind of combined all of that to create the storytelling system.
Very nice. Very nice. So as you've been doing this, who would you say helped you the most? What kind of mentors or guides did you have? Who is it that kept you on track?
Oh, so many people. I have to give some credit. Richard Warren was the president of the Writers of Las Vegas. And okay. He's the one that encouraged me to go into Toastmasters. So I kind of give him credit for everything because it all started back there.
Okay.
But I would say in the speaking world, Darren LaCroix has become a close friend and mentor. And I've learned a lot from him. And when I got to speak in front of my local Las Vegas, Nevada, my local NSA chapter.
Yeah.
I got to share the storytelling and he came up to me afterwards and said, I learned a ton. I took notes and you hit every single emotion while you were telling your stories. And that's probably the best compliment I have ever gotten and the most to heart compliment I've ever gotten.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And do you stay in touch with these people to keep yourself going or?
I do stay in touch with Darren. I haven't spoken to Richard in a while. He moved out of state. But you know what? After this, I'm going to have to send him the link and say, hey, I hope your ears are ringing. But I would say right now, honestly, my biggest inspiration and biggest just support is my husband. I got married in March.
Oh, congratulations to you.
Thank you. He has been, aside from the emotional support and the, go do what you want and stop taking on projects you don't want support, he's actually acted as a business coach in a couple of different ways. And it's been huge.
Very good. Very good. Let me ask you this, just right out of the box, wake up in the morning. What is to get you up and get you moving? What excites you in the morning?
Oh, well, gets me up and gets me moving is the dogs because they have to go to the bathroom. But
Wait. You said plural.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's dog fans out there. We need to know what kind of dogs do you have.
Oh, absolutely. This could be the entire rest of the podcast. So I have two dogs. I have a senior Chihuahua Corgi mix who I fostered during quarantine. Okay. And failed within a week and a half and decided I was keeping him. Oh my God. And then I have a 5-year-old, actually his birthday is 3 days from now. I have a 5-year-old, I don't know, he's like 6 different terriers with maybe a husky thrown in for a wild night. And I started fostering him 3 years ago on and off. His mom was homeless and in and out of the hospital. And last July, it finally became obvious that she couldn't take care of him anymore at all. So
you,
a part of the family.
Nice, nice. So what in your business, what do you consider to be one of the biggest myths that you thought existed when you got into the speaking business? What did you think about the business that was just not true?
That's a really good question. I thought it was going to be a little bit more glamorous than it is. And I'm not sure I realized the amount of cold calls that were going to be necessary, or I may have chosen another career.
That is what a lot of people think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think to yourself it's going to be all footlights and curtains, and instead it's white walls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of pre-work.
What is your most common or most frequent audience? Who are you speaking to?
So this is changing now that I'm switching gears here. And I would say women's groups are probably going to be a big target for me. While I do know that men also have boundary issues, for sure, it's, plagues you guys as well. I think women have a whole other level of boundary issues because of how we're raised.
Well, we're guys. We are boundary issues, period.
As, I didn't say it. You did.
I did. I wanted to get that off my chest. That's just the way it is. As you deal with it, I want to say, are people being drawn to you to talk to you? Do you get involved with them after you speak? Do they want to know more about you and how you can help them?
Yeah, I think the speaking is a great introduction to boundaries and to how to deal with boundary issues.
Okay.
But I do think it's something, it's a muscle. Like any other muscle, it's something you have to work at. And it helps to have a boundary buddy around. Okay. That can help point out the things that you're too close to.
Nice. Now, as you have gotten into your business and you start to move forward, what do you think was the biggest challenge you ever had to overcome?
I think I'm still overcoming it. So okay. I will say that I don't think I've arrived just yet. But imposter syndrome has been huge. And especially with this topic, which has been the really interesting part, is even though I have a master's in psychology, I've lived this, I've done research up the wazoo. But as I was writing this book, I literally had to stop myself every single day and kind of talk myself off the ledge.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because I know a lot of people experience imposter syndrome and it haunts them. What have you done to work with it? What have you done to overcome it and stop it from interfering with your life?
Again, haven't overcome, but I'm fighting through it every single
day. No. Yeah. It's all a battle. We get it.
I think one of the tools that I've used is, and this sounds so funny when you hear it, but it was recommended to me that I write down all of my accomplishments. And, you look at it, and as soon as you do, you go, well, you can kind of explain away anything good that's happened in your life. But then you look at it as if it's somebody else.
Okay.
And as if you're looking at a list of accomplishments from someone you just met or, don't know at all. And when I look at it that way, I'm actually kind of impressive. So.
No, that's good. I think people can learn from that. And that's kind of exciting because that's one of the things I hope is that we get something that people can pull out of this, that they can better themselves. And that's a great step. Who do you turn to when you feel like you're getting stuck in the mud and you don't know where to go next? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? What do you do?
I have a lot of friends that are very understanding and very patient, but don't necessarily know the exact struggles that I'm going through.
Okay.
However, I have one friend that I met through NSA Academy, and she's actually a Cigar Peg member, Kathy Kalesha.
Yep.
And I shoot out a text every once in a while, and I need your brain or I need to vent.
Nice. And
when she's ready, we hop on a call. She actually helped me yesterday with something, and she understands the speaker industry, obviously better than my, regular friends. Not that she's irregular, but
we are irregular. That's
she understands the speaking industry and she understands me. And kind of my experience and where my head's at. So she's actually been a huge help.
Very nice. Very nice. A shout out to Kathy.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm wondering, what do you, when, okay, you've written what, 7 books you said, right? Yes.
It hits somewhere between 6 and 7, but I also ghostwrite, so we're over 10.
Okay, so you're a regular writer.
I am.
What do you do for inspiration when you write?
I outline. I know that sounds ridiculous as inspirational, but you know, one of the biggest things that writers complain about is the dreaded writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
And I get some raised eyebrows when I say this, but I don't believe in it.
Right.
I think if you have done your research and your pre-work and created a strong outline, then you know what you're going to write every day when you sit down. And I think about it the night before. You know, I look at what's up for the next day, and I get to think about that and let my mind just kind of percolate while I'm doing everything. And to be graphic once again, I just kind of vomit it out in the morning.
But there's one trick you said, which mm-hmm. is you outline it very well.
Yes.
Let's focus on that for a moment, because sometimes when people are trying to outline a book, they hit a stone wall just figuring out where to go next.
Yep.
Have you ever had writer's block when it comes to the outlining part?
Back in the day when I wrote fiction.
Okay.
I don't start outlining now until I've done a great deal of research.
Okay. So the research is first.
Yes. Yeah. There is the research step where I'm reading and consuming everything I can on the topic. There's interviews. I spoke to 3 different therapists and about 5 or 6 different women for this book.
Okay.
Just to do interviews and get the information I needed. And then there's my own experience. And as I'm reading, something's triggering, not in a bad way triggering, but triggering. I had this experience, and this is something that people can learn from. So I jot it down. I keep a story file at all times.
Okay.
And then when I'm ready to start outlining, it's really all out there. It's just a matter of organizing it and ordering it.
Very nice. I was saying we've bastardized the word triggering. It used to be such a good thing.
Not the bad trigger.
No, yeah. We used to say something gets triggered. It was like something happened. So what advice would you give someone who wants to write a book? If someone wants to write a book, what advice would you give them to get them off their butt and moving?
I would say, you have a story, you have expertise, you have something to share with the world, and it would be a shame to not share it. And just because you may not consider yourself a writer, and I'm using air quotes here, it doesn't mean that you don't have a valuable message to bring to the world.
Very good. Now, what's your theory on people writing versus people being able to write well?
So that's why I ghostwrite.
Okay. Yep.
While I do believe that everybody has some sort of message and everybody has a gift to share with the world, sometimes it's not writing. There's a lot of things I am not good at, and I have to hire somebody else or beg someone else to help me with. And I think when it comes to writing, sometimes it's just not your forte, and that's okay. There are ghostwriters out there. There are book coaches out there. I do a bit of that as well that can help you.
There's editors.
Editors, exactly. Yep. And everyone needs an editor, even the writers.
No, and that's what I think people, they always say they can't write. Mm-hmm. And I think the answer is they just need to start writing. Just write. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I was going to say, I just finished a book. The email to my editor was, here's 72,000 words. Please put them in order.
Yeah.
You know, it's that easy. although I'm not that bad. I've written most of my life, but it was just like, hey, that's how I see it. Just get it out, make it happen. I think that's great advice. Thank you. What would you say has been your biggest struggle in your career? What is it you have fought hardest against, aside from imposter syndrome? Like, we were talking about that being a difficulty, but
it's really just the confidence. You know, I sit back and I go through like the checklist of all the things that could be standing in my way of, you know, being a super successful, well-known speaker. And there's nothing but my own mind garbage.
Yep.
So that's, you know, just need the constant reminder and the little head petting, like, no, it's okay. You can do this.
You got it. Nice. The, in your world right now, where are you going? What do you plan on? What is your next? I want to say this. What do you have next in your vision, in your goals? What's happening next for you?
So next is launching this book. It's been written for a while. I've been in the pre-marketing stage, if that's
okay. Anything.
Had some personal family issues that I've dealt with over the past couple of weeks. So it kind of got put on hold.
Okay.
But this is next step is to get the book out and start figuring out who my exact audience is and then using the book to market myself as a speaker.
Nice. Nice. Do you, and you said something where I think your answer is going to be yes, but do you think of yourself today as being successful?
I do.
Okay.
I remember taking a writing class when I first moved out to Vegas. I was 28 and the prompt was, who would you like to meet in 5 years? Who would you like to meet?
Okay.
And my answer was me in 5 years, because I wanted to know that I had published books and that I was happy and that I could do what I wanted to do. So, yep, I'm there. I got my books. The speaking is the next thing to attack.
So that's an interesting thought, which you just said, your goal was to write the books, blah, blah, blah. Have you always wanted to be a writer?
No.
How did that happen?
I've always liked writing, but actually the writing class that I took when I moved out here, I was fresh out of a divorce.
Okay.
And the class actually became a very like cathartic exercise for me.
Okay.
Writing was therapy, especially with my degree. I leaned towards serial killer novels.
Okay.
And I got to kill my ex-husband and anybody else that pissed me off in my novels. So very cathartic.
Oh, I hope I don't get in one of your novels. I'll be right for the rest of this interview. What do you have a team or do you work alone? What's your structure?
So with my writing, I Stephen King said, write with the door closed, edit with it open.
Okay.
So I write. I will sometimes run my outlines past someone just to see if it makes sense. But okay. I will write my entire book before it ever gets seen by anyone else.
Okay.
Then it goes to like my first round of like Uber special beta readers. Okay. My husband was the first person to read this book in its entirety. And then I send it out to a team of about 10 beta readers.
Okay.
So people I trust either, you know, for their intelligence, their experience, their industry, whatever it may be. And once that's done, I make any changes I need to make, and then it finally goes to an editor.
Very nice. And marketing for your speaking, do you do that alone or do you have people?
It's alone so far.
Is it? So okay.
One day I'll have people.
The what?
One day I'll have people.
One day. I get it. No, I get it. I just didn't. I always like to know who's doing what. Let me ask you this. If you had, and I always ask this of people because I love the answer. If you had 10 times the budget you currently have, what would you spend it on? What would be the most valuable expense you would have?
Wow. Hold on. I have to like dream for a minute.
Yeah.
I would say PR for the book.
Okay.
That is also focused on getting these speaking engagements. So
got it.
PR slash maybe an agent of some sort.
Okay. Then let me ask the next question on top of that, which is, if you had all the money you ever needed to survive the rest of your life in the every way you've ever dreamed of living it, what would you be doing? What other career would you choose?
I would, does it have to be another career? Because I would still be writing my own books.
Okay. I don't limit anybody. I ask the question, you interpret it any way you want, and I'm happy.
I would say I would still be writing and maybe teaching yoga or something like that.
Okay. All right. Just yeah, curious. Have you ever encountered in your, and when you write, you said the Stephen King, right, with the door closed and edit with it open. What kind of writing hacks do you have as a writer? Have you figured out any hacks that you can share for people?
The outlining is really the biggest one that I will say.
Okay. Right.
So that is huge. Writing hacks. Keeping a story file.
Okay. Oh, okay. Good.
So, yeah. Keeping, jotting down anytime you find yourself telling stories a lot. Write those down, just a little prompt for yourself. You don't have to write out the story.
Okay.
And then go back at a later date and think about the potential lessons that you could have learned from it.
Okay.
So I would say that would be really important. Create a, I want to say safe space, but I think that's also,
right.
These days. But create a ritual around your writing so that you have the same time every day, have the same cup of coffee or tea, whatever your poison is. With this book, I started meditating for 20 minutes. I have a chair in my office. I would go in, put my tea on the desk, meditate for 20 minutes, shut the phone off.
Okay.
Do not disturb, whatever you got to put it on, but it is so difficult to get distracted by anything and get back to writing. And then I put on classical music because I need the sound, but I can't have lyrics.
So we're talking about a full sensory safe space, a full sensory time and place that has to be just right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing for people to try. Let me ask you, I'm going to talk in a minute. I want people to know how to get a hold of you, but in your opinion, based on what you have accomplished, and I'm kind of guessing, we're going back, you said resilience, but what would you consider to be the one personality trait that has allowed you to get where you are today in your career?
Sense of humor.
Perfect.
I would have lost my mind a long time ago if it wasn't for my sense of humor.
Nice. And let me ask you this. And did you develop a sense of humor or did you just always have one?
I think I've always had one. And it's gotten darker over the years, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that happens.
But yeah, it's something that's always been there. And my parents really instilled in me that sense of humor is what helps you survive.
That's funny. I'm smiling because sense of humor, people need to realize it's a perspective and not just something you do.
Yeah.
I will share a great line. Carrie Fisher did a one-woman play called Wishful Drinking. And in it, she said, I will tell you the sad story of my life. And if it wasn't funny, it would just be true. You know, and that's what people need to realize. It's a sense of perspective. And I think that's what you've brought to everybody. I'm glad you did that. Because that's really where your mental health comes from, perspective. Let me ask you this. If people in the Cigar Peg want to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to reach out and get a hold of Cheryl Green?
Bat signal to splash it up. No,
there we go.
So you can reach me on my website, which is CherylGreenSpeaks.com. And Cheryl is spelled with an S. Yep. And my email is Cheryl@CherylGreenSpeaks.com.
Perfect. We hopefully will get people to reach out. I want to thank you. I really appreciate you being here today. This was fun and I enjoyed it. And thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully this reaches a great audience.
No, I think, well, Cigar Peg is a great audience, so we know it's going to get to them, right? Cheryl, thank you.
Thanks.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.